The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Welcome to the Netball Show with Flyhawk. On this episode, we have the Triple Threat with the Netty Life podcast hosts Britt. Hey, Britt.
Hi.
And Kate joining us. Hey, Kate.
Hello.
As well as the CEO of Netball TikTok, Emmy. Hello, Emmy.
Hello.
Also known as Concierge Marie on Twitter and TikTok. I'm sure she won't have passed you by. The four of us Netball Queens will be chatting about the upcoming SSN season. So, first of all, guys, welcome to the show. And it's the second season with the Super Shot. It's a controversial topic that I'm sure we've heard so much about. But I guess I wanted to start off on it with it and ask you what your thoughts are. Have you gotten used to the idea? What do you reckon?
Can I jump in first?
Do it, yes.
I think it's going to be interesting this year to see how teams actually use it. They've had the season last year to get used to it, but I think even just watching some preseason games, especially the Giants preseason games that I was courtside for, they were using it a little bit better than I think they did last year. So it was about using it only when they needed to and then just keeping the goals ticking over. So I wonder if other teams will use it a little bit smarter this year. Do I like it? Still no. I was watching the ANZ Premiership on the weekend. They started their 2021 season and it was just so good to watch some regular netty, not worry about what time it was on the clock. 5 minutes, just not worrying about what time it was, just watching good old netball, and the goal attacks and goal shooters were shooting from anywhere. So I think that old line about, you know, it makes shooters shoot from anywhere, I don't think that's the case, because if you watch ANZ or, you know, even the Vitality Super League in the UK, that's just not the case. They're shooting from anywhere anyway. So, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. What do you reckon, Emmy?
I think it's pretty well known in the netball community how I feel about the Super Shot. It hasn't really changed. I saw an interesting stat the other day that I hadn't really thought about before, but it was the bottom four teams last year got the most Super Shots. So I was just like, that's very telling about, I guess, how effective it is for the actual game itself. Agree with Kate, though. I think from the preseason hitouts I've watched so far, I think Giants have gotten a lot smarter about how they're using it. And for that reason, I think Giants are going to be a big threat in 2021. I think if you can use it effectively, and like, I think it is going to be here to stay now. So it's just about teams adjusting like they would to umpires. You know, you just have to adjust with what's thrown at you and use it to the best of your ability.
Absolutely. Britt, do you have anything to add on that?
Yeah, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for the Super Shot. I am someone that has always been outspoken about my hate for it, but I feel like it's very different to be a pundit and someone that analyses the sport and then to watch a game as a fan when your team's doing well with the Super Shot, especially if they're coming from behind. There were a couple of games last year where the Swifts were really nailing them and I was like, come on, use it, you know. So it's conflicting, I would say. And having called some preseason games now for the Giants, as a commentator in the moment, when someone nails a two-point shot, like, you know, that's a pretty exciting moment too. So I'm a bit more conflicted about it this year. I'll be really interested to see how it goes throughout the season, given, like Kate and Emmy have both alluded to, the teams have had more times to work out, you know, tactics around it. So they can learn from what went wrong last year. But as Emmy alluded to, I think some teams last year relied on it too much. And it's funny because the Giants were one of those teams and now they're nailing them this year. So it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out for the Giants especially. Because it looks like they've got a clear focus to use it again.
Hi, this is Shani Layton and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Talking about rules, they've introduced the extra time this season, stating that if two teams are tied, a 90-second break will be taken. The match will then go into 5 minutes of extra time. And then if they're tied at the end of that five-minute period, it would just be a draw. Obviously, we saw loads of draws in 2019, lots of last season as well. So what do you make about the decision to make this rule change? Do you think it's the right time and probably about time that they did this?
It's probably been done for broadcast reasons. I mean, I've always been a bit traditional in the sense that if a team finishes with a draw, I feel like they both deserve to share the points. But I can also understand that if they're not going to have bonus points in play this year, they need something to separate teams on the ladder a bit more. So extra time will be interesting this year. And, yeah, I'm actually looking forward to seeing how it plays out because sometimes there's just far too many draws. So, yeah, I think it's a good one to bring in and just see how it goes.
Yeah, I totally agree. What do you reckon, Kate?
I think it just adds to the excitement. I am a bit old school in the sense that a draw is a draw, but I also watch the NRL and they have Golden Point in the NRL and there's nothing better or worse if you win the Golden Point and equally heartbreaking if you lose it, but it definitely adds to the drama. But it still could end up a draw even at the end of extra time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's unlikely, but, I mean, it could happen. I mean, we've seen those battles with the Diamonds and the Ferns, like two times extra time or something like that in the past. And, you know, it has been a draw. But I think it's good because, like Britt said, because bonus points aren't in anymore, I think, you know, in 2019 especially, there were teams who were getting draws a lot and they were probably worthy of top four and they just couldn't make top four because they were drawing so many games. So that may have pushed one of those teams into the top four. So, yeah, I think it's good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. And, Emmy, like, talking about predictions for the upcoming season, who would you put your money on to win this season?
I've actually picked Giants for this year. I think that for all of the reasons that we've sort of already gone over, I think that they've probably, from what I've seen in the preseason, been the team to adjust the best to the Super Shot. I think they're really going to use it to their benefit this year. And apart from Giants, I'm also picking Fever. I actually think it'll be a Giants Fever grand final, even with the 12-point deficit.
Ooh, okay. I'm very excited to fast forward a couple of months and see whether you're correct. Britt, what do you think? Who do you think could claim the title this year?
For me, I think there's three clear teams that will make top four, and I don't know who's going to take out that fourth spot. So for me, I think Swifts, Giants, Firebirds will all make top four. I'm not sure about West Coast Fever. That's a really big tip, Emmy, because, you know, with the sanctions handed down to them and no bonus points in play this year, they're really going to have a perfect season to make sure they're within the top four for finals. So I think that they're going to be really up against it. But when it comes to two teams battling it up for the grand final, I'm going to go Firebirds Giants.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm liking the look of Firebirds this season, especially obviously they've got Kimi Rav and Gretel Beretta back. So that will be really interesting. Kate, who have you got your money on?
Well, we all sound like a bit of a broken record, but I think Giants look really, really good. And I think that's because Joe Harton looks really, really good.
Yeah.
So in 2019, I got to go to a few of the Swifts preseason games, and really almost instantly from those preseason games, there was a vibe about the Swifts. And very early on, I put my money on the Swifts to win it, and everyone laughed at me. But being close to the Giants this season, there's that same vibe about that squad, and it's very exciting to see. So I think if Joe Harton can have, like, Joe Harton needs to have a fantastic season, but if Joe can, then the Giants will follow, and I think they could be in the grand final this year.
Exciting times. And I mean, obviously, we all know the news about Liz Watson having the surgery on a bone in her foot, which I had never heard of before. It's called the navicular or something. Yeah. Anyway, so she has had the surgery, did not realise that she even had an issue there because she has been playing so incredibly well. But do you think that her absence will have an impact on the Vixens? Because no one's really talking about the Vixens so much this season. What do you reckon?
I think Vixens are in big trouble this season. So not only have they got a very inexperienced shooting circle, aside from Wake and Wenza, they've also got now, without Lizzie Watson, a pretty inexperienced midcourt as well. I know Ali Smith played last year and Kate Maloney's obviously a gun, but they're going to have to bring in Taylor Honey or Hannah Mundy a fair bit into that midcourt now. And just having watched them played against the Giants in that preseason, I know people say preseason doesn't mean anything in terms of the actual official season. I just don't think those combinations are as strong as they were throughout last year and as they have been throughout the last few seasons. Just, you know, so many new players in that one end are all up in that attacking line. It just, it's not connecting as well as it would. And then you look at their defensive end too, and you've got Mannix battling a hip injury, Joe Weston. I'm not quite sure whether hers is a calf or an ankle injury. I've heard conflicting reports about that. But, yeah, those two are big for them in the defensive end. So hopefully they're right to go for round one. But, yeah, I think they're in a bit of trouble this season, which is not good news.
Emmy, what do you reckon? On the same boat as Britt with that?
Yeah, I agree. I think that they probably know that they're in a bit of a, like, rebuilding stage. Even with the massive loss of Katie Thwaites and also Tegan Phillips as well. So obviously that's going to have a big impact. Agree with Britt on the preseason hit-outs too. I was really impressed with Hannah Mundy, so I'd be really happy to see her get a go. But I don't think we actually know who's getting the call-up for Liz yet, so that's still up in the open. But, yeah, I think they probably know that this year they'll have to do a lot of rebuilding and work out those new connections. But if anyone's going to be able to pull the team together and pull something special out, it's Kate Maloney. So let's not write them off just yet.
Yes. And, I mean, it's interesting because the one mid-quarter, well, she's a wing attack specialist, Chelsea Pittman, is the one person who's in my mind. But I don't know whether they could... you know, just trying to do like chess in my head with the netball players and the teams and everything. I don't know whether they could take her on board, but I mean, even just looking at Adelaide Thunderbirds, they've had a lot of movement this season. And I still can't believe, you know, this entire narrative about Chelsea Pittman, the fact that she wasn't retained. I mean, what do you all think about that? Kate, what are your thoughts on that?
I have very strong thoughts on that, Sasha. I was really devastated that they didn't re-sign Chelsea Pittman. They'd made her captain in 2020 and she led from the front. She had a lot of young players around her and she made them all look really good. And, you know, you don't find combinations that click that fast, but the one she had with Georgie Horgis was netball perfection. Just didn't get any better than that. And, yeah, for them not to retain her was just incredible because you really felt like that team was building to something very special. And had that team kept Chelsea Pittman, you know, I would probably have them in my top four this season. But because they haven't, they drop out of my top four. So, look, I would love nothing else than to see Chelsea get a call. But I don't know if... you know, whether that would have already happened by now. She would have to uproot and move her life and do all those sorts of things. So I don't know. But, I mean, that's the first person I would have called in their situation.
Yeah. I feel like if it was going to happen, we would know about it by now, which is disappointing.
Yeah, it is disappointing. And to think, you know, she's had such an incredible career and I hate to use the word had past tense. That's not what I want to say. I want to say, you know, she's still having an incredible career. I think that the article that Netball Scoop did with her about, you know, her really tragic miscarriages and it kind of did feel as though Thunderbirds made the decision not to retain her in line with the fact that she is trying to have a family. It just feels totally wrong in women's sport and just wrong. I know sport's cutthroat, but that just feels like it took cutting a person's throat to like a much deeper level than it needed to go to. Emmy, what do you reckon about that?
100%. I think like it was very hard to read that article, wasn't it? Appalling. And like your heart goes out to her, not only to be going through that in her private life. But then I also feel for her to sort of be like, when we're all going through that, oh, where's she going to end up? You know, we had a theory she might be at the, she might end up at the Giants. And then we all had a theory that she was going to end up at Rhinos with Dan Ryan. And then it didn't really happen. And then I just, I sort of worry about how that plays on her as well. Sort of like, if now it's not happening, but to have everyone sort of be like, yeah, yeah, we wish that would happen. That'd be great. I just hope, yeah, if she knows it, it's coming from a good place from all of us, you know, and we miss her and want to see her back out there. But yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
Oh, it's so tough. It's, you know, the pressure is obviously extremely difficult for players to handle, and especially when there's so much speculation. But yeah, I just, it would be a shame for a season to go by without seeing her on court, especially when you consider that the window in which a player can actually be at their best isn't really that long in the grand scheme of things. But I mean, looking to Magpies, I just think they always look so good on paper. They have also seen a lot of movement this year. Obviously, they have a different coaching setup as well. So do you think that they could perform any better than last season when they finished at the bottom of the table, Britt?
Well, I know Emmy's a huge Collingwood fan, so she might have some more insight here. But I just think as soon as Ash Brazel's back in the side, you can't count them out. Like, I think of 2019 and the way they used the bonus points to slip through to the finals and knock the Giants out of contention there. I think you can't count them out as long as Ash Brazel's there. Kelsey Brown will be back as well. I'm really interested to see how another Trinidad and Tobago shooter will go in the competition with Khalifa McCollum coming in. And I think everyone's puzzled by the fact that Nye Allen is a training partner. So I'm sure, I'm sure Emmy might have some more to say about that.
Yeah, 100%. And, I agree completely, Brit. I think you can't discount Ash Braz at all. And I think she's going to come back absolutely bigger and better than ever, which we, you know, we don't doubt of her. But yeah, still puzzled, I guess, by the shooting end decisions. And I went to one of the preseason matches in Traralgon. It was Firebirds versus Magpies. And Firebirds, like, rotated through all of their players. You know, they even got, like, Batchelor out for a run. She had a shoot. She had a going goal tack. And Magpies just didn't really rotate their roster. And I was just kind of like, oh, well, this is how it's going to be again. Like, I don't know. I just, yeah, I'm priming myself to be disappointed again, but yeah, we'll see, especially with the addition of Ash and Kelsey back in the mix. Hopefully we can get at least more than one win on the board this year.
Oh, definitely. And obviously, just to make it very clear, at the moment when we're recording this, the latest two episodes of Anything Is Possible series have not yet come out, so we're talking about the first two episodes. But guys, I mean, we all watched it. What did you think of the Anything Is Possible documentary about netball? I mean, it's good to see netball kind of in the spotlight for once, isn't it, Kate?
It is. I was very excited when I knew this doco was coming out and had really high expectations or hopes for it. And I did like it. And I'm not criticising the documentary. I think just what I wanted personally was a little bit more guts and grit. I don't know whether it's coming though, so it's hard to sort of say whether it is coming or it's not coming, but we definitely had some big moments in Suncorp Super Netball last year. So, you know, the whole Seabass drama, Christiana Manua was sent off court, you know, there was a whole heap of things that went on and we haven't touched on that yet. So I also wanted it to sort of follow a bit of a storyline, and I didn't feel like it did. I felt like it was explaining Suncorp's explaining netball to people who had never watched the game. So it ran through what each position did on court and things like that. And I was sort of scratching my head thinking, yeah, I got that. Thanks, I know. And then they ran through the score of every single round. And I'm like, yeah, got that. Watch the whole thing. Thanks. But so, yeah, there was a few things that I felt were missing, but we have not finished the doco yet. So that was just my initial impressions. But it's very cool to see that, like, these thoughts are happening in the netball space. So there's obviously, you can always improve on things, but it's just really exciting to grab the popcorn, sit down and watch something to do with netball. That was really cool. So I'm excited to see what the next episodes are about.
Oh, Yeah, I mean, it's great to see something about netball like that, but it fell short for me. There were moments where we had, like, some real emotion brought out of players, so I was almost in tears when we saw Katie Thwaites talking about her dad. I did shed a tear when they were talking to the Brown sisters, and they were talking about how they had Maddie had to retire and the love they had for each other and all that stuff, but it didn't really go deep enough into it. Like, it sort of skimmed over it, and then all of a sudden Maddie was retiring, and then it just, as Kate said, there was no real narrative to follow. So I think I struggled in that sense, because for me, I'm a fan, I know what's going on, so I knew these little moments happening throughout the season, and you just got, I get you got a bit of emotion from it, but like if you're a fan already and you're coming to watch it, you're not getting much more than you already know. And I sort of wonder what the point of the program is. And I've heard on Twitter that it might have been intercepted by Super Netball and played down a bit. So maybe they've pulled some of the controversial stuff out. I've also seen in the papers in Sydney that there's supposed to be an episode tonight or coming where Maddie Proud gets concussed at training.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the Swifts were sort of saying to me, like, it's a good thing because it'll show people the really physical side of the sport and that it's not a prissy sport. And I'm sort of like, yeah, I get that, and concussion's a really big issue, but, you know, I want to know about the big things that happened last season. And to me, Maddie Proud getting concussed is like one small thing, you know, a very small thing in the narrative of that happened last season. And I think if you read anyone's columns from last year, there's multiple netball writers out there. Nobody wrote a thing about Maddie Proud being concussed. And that's not a blight on the Swifts. That's not a blight on Maddie Proud. That's not a blight on concussion. It's a very serious issue. But if we're going to watch a season back that talks about the big talking points of the season, I want a full episode on Indigenous Round. I want a full episode on, you know, even leading into the season. Remember how Romelda Aitken was talking about how she didn't feel very supported around Black Lives Matter? That's a huge topic from last year. I want a full episode on Christiana Manua being sent off. Like, that's the stuff that I want as a netball fan. So Kate and I were having a bit of chatter after the first two episodes, and I was sort of saying, I don't know what the point of it is. Is it for us as netball fans, or is it for people that are new to the game and just trying to get a sense of what happened last year? Because if you're going to get that much access to players, I would hope for something a little bit more.
I would totally agree with that. Emmy, you were at the premiere with the players themselves. What was your experience like watching those episodes?
Yeah, I mean, completely hearing exactly what you guys are saying. And again, like, I'm always going to support anything that's sort of putting netball out there. I was really grateful to be able to go to the premiere, and there were heaps of really good moments. But yeah, I'm have to say I'm completely on the same page. Like, my initial reaction was, I loved it, but that's because I'm like a hardcore netball fan. I love anything netball. But what was it trying to achieve? You know, who was the target audience? I was confused about how it sort of did swap back and forth between being the really like nice intimate moments between the players that we love. And I was like, yes, this is what we want to see, you know, real raw, you know, we love these guys. We want to know everything about them. And then all of a sudden being really dumbed down to sort of explaining what each position does. And I was chatting to someone after, and I was like, they would never do that in an AFL documentary. Like, there's no way they would run through what the positions are. And I'm like, that's fine if this is what this documentary is for. But again, I think it is SSN trying to tailor their product to this almost imaginary unicorn of fans that I don't even know if they exist out there, potential fans, sorry. So sort of trying to draw people in through this kind of merchandise and start them off at that ground level, but at the same time really alienating us mega hardcore fans who have been there all along. And, you know, something like this, we see it and we're like, oh, this is going to be amazing. This is what we need. And someone else on Twitter, I'm not sure who it was, so tweet me if it was you, but I read that they did a really good explanation that they felt like it was like a Brownlow run through. So it was almost like too much time was spent on recapping the games. And like Kate said, like, we were there. That's all we did. We watched every game, you know, especially us in Melbourne. That's all we had. I loved going. I loved the idea of it. And interested to see what the next episodes have
become. I think Sasha too. I mean, they've obviously done this through Foxtel, because Super Netball's moving to Foxtel at the end of this season. So is this a preview of what we're going to get from Foxtel, or are they just sort of dipping their toe in the water and getting their usual Fox fans used to watching netball again on that platform? Mm. It's hard to know without knowing the premise and the point of it. But I think, like, given some of the other coverage I've seen from Fox on other women's sport this year, especially sport like the W League, where coverage has dropped out, they've had a logo in the middle of the screen half the game, they've had a camera pointed at a guy back home with the tuber in the background. Like, it sort of makes me worried that this is what Fox thinks we want. And I think it might have been done by an independent person, so I'm hoping that's not the case. But, yeah, I think they're going to need to level up a lot more if they're going to tailor to us netball fans come 2022.
Oh, and I was just going to say, if they are looking for, like you were saying, Emmy, like, it seems to be this unicorn market of people that they're trying to get netball out to, don't those big moments grab those people? Why wouldn't we be doing a documentary about the things that were written about in the paper? I just don't get it. Like, that was really, I mean, it was good, but it was soft on all edges. There was, apart from the emotional bits that, you know, made you tear up, but that's because we know these players and we love them dearly. And I just don't know if that would have evoked, you know, the Katie Thwaites bit was good, but it needed another 5 minutes to connect an outside fan. I cried because I love Katie Thwaites. But, you know, for someone who doesn't know her, are they crying? I don't know. It just didn't go deep enough. But there was no, like, hard hitting. There was no rough edges. It was all very kept within a very nice, safe space. And, you know,
very palatable.
Yeah, yeah. And there were big things. It was Indigenous round, Seabass, Verity Childs got spat on. People got sent off.
Yes.
Yeah, heaps of things. And they made the newspapers. So if what made the newspapers does not make this documentary, that's not cool. It's not okay. They needed to do better there.
I totally agree. I feel like it was quite a censored view of the season. And I mean, they said with a press release that this was done to try and attract more people to netball. So I definitely think that its target audience are not the four of us. I think that it's people who perhaps are not netball fans, but because we all love netball, we obviously were watching it. And I totally agree, it didn't go deep enough at all. And the one thing that I really wanted to see, and I think it was entirely remiss of them to not touch on at all, which could be coming up though, is the Caitlin Bassett storyline. Like, yes. For me, that was probably the biggest thing last season.
And Sasha, do you know, talk about it. They clearly have the footage of it because we all saw her in the change rooms and how loud Joe Harden was singing the song and how out Seabass look. So they've got the footage there. They've got the footage to do something on that, but whether they do it, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we don't know exactly who is behind this. Obviously, it's if it's gone through SSN, they're trying to portray it in a certain way. It's somewhat of a PR stunt to entice more people to the sport. So, but I still think for you to not touch on the controversy is the wrong thing to do. It's like, you know, my job as a journalist, if I ask someone a question and they just go, oh, I'm not answering that, it's like, no, that's not the way to handle that situation. You do answer the question and you at least try and answer it, you know, rather than just outright saying you're not going to talk about it, because that's not helpful for anyone. So yeah, roll on the next two episodes. I'll be very interested to see exactly what they do and whether they go and or delve any deeper. So to kind of wrap things up, what have you guys got coming up on the podcast soon? Are you going to be doing your weekly roundups of the games, Kate and Britt?
Go ahead, Britt.
Yeah, we've got some exciting news that we can't let leak yet. Exciting news coming this season. So I think we're going to announce that next week, but we will be back every week. Just me and Kate talking netty again.
Love it.
We love it. So it was great. Last year was just a bit of an experiment for us. And so the fact that we're going to come back this year is exciting. Yeah. So we're going to continue on.
Oh, good. I can't wait to listen to that. I really enjoyed the podcast last season. And Emmy, you know, we know you as the queen of, or the CEO of Netball TikTok. So have you got any more exciting content coming up? And if so, what have you got coming our way?
Oh, God, you know, I just, like, the ideas pop into my head in the middle of the night and then I just have to keep myself in bed till the morning so that I can film them. Just really looking forward to the start of the season and, you know, enjoying that Nettie's back in the ANZ Premiership, you know, enjoying seeing Seabus out there, bugging all of my favourite players on Instagram and just living my best life.
Can we just say something too, Emmy? Like, as someone that doesn't have a TikTok account because I'm a bit old school like that, but has been on TikTok because I've wanted to have a look at your videos, I think you're a prime example of how netball doesn't really need to tailor itself to get views and get interest in what's happening, because my partner would watch your TikToks and not understand what's going on. But yeah, everyone in the netball community gets it. So if we're all like thriving off what you're doing, isn't that a showcase for netball then to just own what it's doing and stop trying to tailor itself to these new potential fans?
I think so. I think you're right on the money, Ruth.
I like it. Let's hope they're listening, hey? Oh, well, thank you so much, guys, for joining us. It's been great to have all of you on here, and I just love talking about netball, so I really enjoyed that, so thank you.
Me too. You're welcome.
Well, you heard it here first. Those were our predictions for the upcoming season. My gosh, I really, really enjoyed that chat. We had a lot of fun, and I hope that you guys enjoyed listening to it as well. If you did enjoy this episode, why not make sure you subscribe to our podcast, as I'm hoping that the four of us will be able to get in touch again once the SSN is underway and we can have a bit of a catch-up, see whether our predictions were at all on the money or not. Hopefully they are. We will see. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Sasha Shipway, and this is The Netball Show with Flyhawk.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.